Yesterday's announcement by the Biden administration that it is donating 500 million doses of COVID vaccine to developing countries aims to address the lopsided global distribution of vaccines. In Africa, Uganda is still struggling to vaccinate its most at-risk groups. So far, there have been more than 120,000 recorded cases of COVID-19 and just over 3,100 deaths. But the real numbers are likely much higher. Special correspondent Fred DeSam Lazaro reports from Kampala.
It is a rare and random event in Uganda, a vaccination site that actually has vaccines. About 200 AstraZeneca doses were dispensed to people like Eunice Winiki, who tried before and failed to get a shot.
I tried once, then I waited for 3 months, then it came.
College instructor Joseph Okiror got his shot because teachers are getting priority.
I feel I'm lucky because I deal with a lot of students, and as a result, I needed.
They are among the few. Only 2.3% of this country's 44 million people have received their first dose. The wait for a second stretches weeks beyond the recommended 8 to 12 weeks. Some of the country's vaccines have come from COVAX, the UN-backed sharing initiative whose supply has fallen well short of its goals. The government's plan to purchase directly from India fell through after that country stopped exporting vaccines amid its own devastating surge. So vaccination sites sit empty, hastily brought into service whenever doses arrive, many of them donations from Western countries and China, consignments varying by brand, many from surpluses nearing their expiration date.
We appreciate the dose sharing. We do appreciate, but it doesn't begin even to address the needs.
Dr. Jane Ruth Acheng is Uganda's Minister of Health.
Other countries are thinking about a third dose, a booster dose. And we are just beginning to say, how do we get teachers vaccinated? Should the African continent that has been so marginalized in vaccine distribution sit back and say, let us close our economies and wait for vaccines to come in?
In April 2020, many countries experiencing infection surges, Uganda implemented a strict lockdown, shutting down schools, most travel, even religious gatherings. That appeared to contain the virus until the Delta variant emerged in June. Most of Uganda's cases and some 3,100 deaths have occurred since, overwhelming the Spartan healthcare system until the government clamped down with another six-week lockdown.
It was very severe. We had about 30 patients in the hospital. And yes, it was straining because the hospital wasn't set up specifically to manage that kind of volume of COVID patients.
Dr. Elias Kumba Kumba is on a COVID task force at the main government hospital in Imbarara, Uganda's second largest city.
How many ventilators do you have?
We have 10, but a few of them, I think about three, are not as functional as they should be.
And this is a hospital that is serving 4 million.
4 million people in the region and beyond.
Most of those people would find it hard to even get to this hospital. Transportation is a barrier for over half the population who earn less than $2 a day on days they actually work. And during the lockdowns, work and transportation became even more scarce. Private providers may live closer, but for many, they are unaffordable. Dr. Charles Kasozi says he's tried to keep his prices affordable in his modest dispensary, catering to low-income neighbors near the town of Entebbe. At the peak, he had 20 COVID patients and struggled to obtain oxygen and medication.
How much does it cost to ventilate a patient with COVID?
It may cost 2 to 3 million per day.
2 to 3 million
per day.
That's between 600 and 800 US dollars per day.
So you think a lot of people die in their homes?
Some people died in their homes because they could not pay the hospital bills.
Stories are rife of price gouging in private hospitals.
Before you're treated, you must present a land title, which most Ugandans just can't.
To pay for the care.
Yeah, but before they even touch your patient, some would ask for a land title, a huge deposit.
Alana Kembabazi, a Yale-educated attorney and activist with Uganda's Initiative for Social and Economic Rights, says Ugandans have been failed twice.
By the international community because we just couldn't get the vaccines in sufficient amounts that we needed, but also by our own government, which should have taken more measures to strengthen our public health systems.
Uganda received more than $800 million in foreign assistance to cope with the COVID crisis, much of it in the form of loans from agencies like the World Bank. Critics say the government's been less than transparent about how that money was or is being spent. The government has also come under fire for being out of touch with the widespread suffering here. One recent example, the purchase of new vehicles for Uganda's 500-plus members of parliament.
When you're telling teachers and you're telling parents you can't send your kids into school until all the teachers are vaccinated, until all kids after above 12 are vaccinated, so where are your priorities?
Health Minister Acheng contends that's not the issue.
We have the money. We've had the money from the outset. COVAX will tell you, you will get vaccines between now and 2022, December. I think the answer to this is for Africa to invest in its own vaccine production.
Several African nations are able to manufacture vaccines. The hurdle, trade negotiations over the transfer of intellectual property rights and also the export of some vaccine ingredients.
The idea that we're all in this together is just a lie. Are you going to close your boundaries forever? Are your people never going to travel? How do they think this disease spreads?
Without vaccines, Uganda has imposed lockdowns. Minister Acheng says these are not only unaffordable anymore, they're unenforceable.
Everybody is tired. The focus of most people has now moved away from survival in keeping safe from the pandemic to economic survival, where I need to get food on the plate.
Of the survivors, she and others say none will pay a heavier price than children in a country where half the population is younger than 14. At the vaccination site, sisters Deborah and Winnie, 11 and 12, sell bananas so they may eat each night.
I love studying.
What was your favorite subject?
I liked mathematics and social sciences.
The government hopes to reopen schools in the weeks ahead, but these sisters and millions of others, their families financially wiped out, may not return soon, if ever. Another troubling sign, child labor, which had been declining for two decades in Uganda and elsewhere, saw an increase in 2020, a trend the UN says is getting much worse in 2021. We'll explore that issue in my next report. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSamlazaro in Kampala, Uganda.
Fred's reporting is in partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.